Boeing gets an extension on a U.S.-Mexican border project.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. In 2006, Boeing won a contract to build a so-called virtual fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. That project is way behind schedule and way over budget. Marketplace has learned now that the Department of Homeland Security has granted Boeing a 30-day extension. That contract was expected to expire today. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The virtual fence known as SBINet was supposed to combine high-tech surveillance tools with more personnel to prevent illegal border crossings. Randy Height reviewed the project for the Government Accountability Office. He says some big questions never got answered, like, how will SBINet work, and how much will it cost?
Well, if you don't define those kinds of things, it's hard to be held accountable for anything. Whatever you deliver, you're saying, well, this is what we intended to do.
As costs went up to more than $1 billion, Height says the scale of the project got smaller.
From initially the northern and southern borders to the southwest border, to just three sectors on the southwest border, to two sectors on the southwest border, and eventually now to two locations within one sector on the southwest border.
Height calls it the incredible shrinking program. Two issues that contributed to the reduction in scope were geography and equipment that didn't live up to its billing. Jason Ahern oversaw the project while he was with Customs and Border Protection. Now he works in the private sector.
You have mountains, you have desert, you have lack of communications in some of those areas. So to being able to take some of this information and to be able to remote it to a command center is a tough, tough challenge for any contractor to do.
The Government Accountability Office recommended the program be revised. Earlier this year, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano called for an internal audit. Boeing referred our request for an interview to the Department of Homeland Security. In a statement, it said, quote, Boeing stands behind its work on the SBINet system as a reliable, effective border security tool. In its own statement, the Department of Homeland Security said it's currently reevaluating the program and it expects to make an announcement about its fate soon. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Boeing, of course, also makes aircraft. And can a Chinese company compete with the likes of Boeing and Airbus? An airplane company in China has announced it's going to deliver 100 orders for commercial jetliners. The Commercial Aircraft Corporation is trying to beat out Boeing's popular 737 and the Airbus A320 for the skyrocketing air travel market in China. From Shanghai, Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
700 million people will be flying the friendly skies above China by the end of the decade. It's a market that'll be worth close to $500 billion. China's hoping its new C919 aircraft will start cutting into Boeing's 52% share of that market. With all that business, Boeing's Randy Tinseth doesn't want to badmouth his new competitor, but he's not willing to give up market share either.
To follow the competition is a pathway to mediocrity, and we don't want to be mediocre.
For some Chinese products, mediocre might be seen as a compliment. And that's why industry experts question the foreign appetite for these new planes. But the C919's manufacturer isn't worried. That's because it's owned by the government, just like most airlines in China. In essence, it'll sell airplanes to itself. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are mixed right now. Global stocks are all over the place at the moment. Investors still concerned about sovereign debt in Ireland and the possibility of a European bailout there. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ lost more than 1.5%. The Dow tanked, down 178 points to close at 11,023. The maker of the popular caffeine and alcohol drink Four Loko says it's taking the caffeine part out of its beverages. That's just as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration expects to ban drinks that blend alcohol and caffeine as early as today. Four Loko and other drinks like it have come under fire after being linked to two deaths and several injuries.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. and by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
There's a new happy couple whose pictures are plastered all over global newspapers. Prince William and his future bride, Kate Middleton. Today, the couple will sit down with royal advisors to begin planning their wedding next year. But many Brits are already wondering how much all that's going to cost, that pomp and circumstance, and whether it's appropriate in a time of austerity. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports from London.
When Prince Charles and Lady Diana married 30 years ago, one estimate put the cost at $50 million for the event. But today, attitudes towards extravagant royal spending are very different. A royal spokesman has been quick to say that William and Kate will be mindful of the economic situation as they plan their big day. Mark Namirko is a luxury wedding planner based in London, whose couples spend, on average, $500,000. He says he doesn't expect this wedding will be overly ostentatious.
For sure, they'll go probably all out for the ceremony, have an amazing ceremony, which I'm sure thousands of people will be invited to, which the nation will need and will want. But I also feel that there'll be other more intimate aspects to their wedding day for sure.
Royal weddings are typically paid for by the British taxpayer, but there are already calls for Prince Charles to foot the entire bill for the wedding from his personal fortune. But there is also a lot of excitement about what sort of boost this could give the nation at a rather gloomy time. Namirko says the wedding industry will profit from couples wanting to copy the royal stationery, dress and party ideas. And also, with billions of viewers from across the world expected to watch the royal wedding on TV, it could also be great publicity for British tourism. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, it's not unusual to find tiny houses in big urban jungles. But in Tokyo, 39-year-old Fuyuhito Maria's home sits in a space where you'd park a Honda or a Chevy. Maria bought the 300 square feet of prime real estate that was advertised as a parking space, and he spent $500,000 to build a home there. A home so big, he invited his mother to come live with him. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Just because something's old and well used doesn't mean it's used up. You know, that goes for cars, a comfy sweater, and houses, too.
The greenest building is the one that's already built.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. When old things equal green things, next time we'll have the day's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.